Shavua Tov, everyone. Good evening. Thank you all for coming. Sorry about the delay, but now you know that the Rabbanim in the Shul provide both Ruchnius and Gashmius. We serve the food, we give the Shiurim. It's really a full package deal. It's a full package deal. But thank you all for coming on a relatively quiet Sunday night to join us for learning. I want to begin by thanking the sponsors for tonight. Very, very appreciated. Sharon Howell Lipsky, in memory of Sharon's mother, Mrs. Helen Braver, Aleha Shalom, and Mindy and Seymour Liebman, Liskus Rafua Shalema for Chai Leah Batara, the Social Arachola Yisrael. Thank you for your sponsorship, and hopefully again the Torah should be Lili Nishmat, Sharon's mother, and should be Liskus Rafua for Chai Leah Batara, among all the other Cholim in the community and Gans Klal Yisrael. Ever read an author named John Maxwell? He was actually a previous pastor. Maybe we're colleagues in some level or another. But he left that profession and became a life coach and a speaker and a writer, all those kinds of things. And he writes these like very introspective books. And in one of the books, he tells the following story. As a child, his grandfather would give him these riddles. So one particular evening, he sat with his grandfather, and the grandfather asked he and his siblings the following question. He said, five frogs are sitting on a log. Four decide to jump off. How many frogs are left? And every time they ask the question, all the kids, oh, one left, one left, one left. And the grandfather would say, nope. How many are left? Five. Five. Why are there five left? Oh. But his grandfather would say there's a big difference between deciding to jump off the log versus jumping off the log. Uh-huh. Four frogs decided to jump off the log, but they were still there. A big naskamina, as we say where we come from, between deciding to do something and actually going ahead and doing it. That, to me, frames the entire month of Elul. And actually, kudos to all of you for being here tonight. We are about to begin a very important journey in our experience in terms of the entire year as Jews. And we all commit to, in our minds, with these lofty, amazing goals. And we want to be all the way over there by the end of Simcha Shor. There's a big difference between deciding what we want versus actually doing. Tonight we're going to begin a process of actually, lemaisa, doing what we commit to doing. But before we do that, we have to figure out what our task it is. And I want to frame the beginning of our shiur tonight with my own thoughts with a very well-known sicha that was given by one of my most favorite authors and speakers and Baal Musar, Rav Shimshon Pinkus Zatzal, who was an incredible Rav in Ofakim. He was killed, sadly, tragically in a car accident with his granddaughter, a daughter way too young. And after he passed away, he was killed, they printed many, many svarim that he had given over in Shuzin in the yeshiva. And he had this incredible introduction to Elul that's actually fairly well known in his Sichot for Rosh Hashanah, in the theme of Elul. It's on the first source sheet, first source on the sheet in front of you. Some background to the story in Melachim Beis Perek Vav. Elisha is the Isha Elokim. Elisha is the man of God, and he's having some trouble because there's some people that always seem to want to attack. Klal Yisrael, Aram is one of those nations that always pops up every few Sfarim in Tanakh. They always want to attack. And so, they're attacking Klal Yisrael. Right now, the kingdom is a little bit of a split. Yoram is the king. Yehoram, sorry, is the king. And they're attacking Klal Yisrael. And Elisha is the focus of their attention because they are told. Melech Aram is told, as you get the Isha Elokim, you will get the secret to Klal Yisrael's success and how they're able to subsist, even though God's angry at them, they're in a bad place, but the Isha Elokim is a key cog. You get him, you get Klal Yisrael. So they have this ploy to get the Isha Elokim to get Elisha. And they have this ploy. What does Elisha do? Again, he's a Navi, and some say even some quasi Malach. So he davens. He davens to Hashem to be saved from their attack, from being kidnapped, from being taken by Aram. And the pasuk says, Stricken then with sanvirim, with blindness. By Akim by sanvirim kidvar Elisha. Hashem follows exactly what the Navi Elisha says and gives them blindness. They couldn't see where they were. They came to grab him, to kidnap him, to attack. They couldn't do it. Vayomer lehem Elisha. Elisha, in his great wisdom, they're blind, they can't see. He says, lo zeh haderech velo zeh ha'ir. He says, you want to find the Ish Elokim? You're going the wrong direction. Now, what's funny about this? Here he is the Ish Elokim. And he says to them, oh, you want to find that guy? I know where he is. Follow me. Little do they know, because they're blinded, they can't see that it's actually the Ish Elokim, it's actually him. And so he says, follow me. Lo zeh haderech velo zeh ha'ir. L'chua acharei v'alicha esem, ala Ish asher tevakshishun v'ayelich osam shomrana. Takes them towards Shomro. Rapinkus, in his essay, writes that this one pasuk captures our confusion sometimes in terms of elul. The two things to focus on any trip you're going to take, there's the derech, and there is the ear. What are both? So the derech means, how do I get there? What are the directions? Google Maps. Wait, how do I get there? Remember the olden days where you had to actually stop at gas stations and ask for directions? But I remember the olden days when I first started driving, I had a cell phone the size of my entire being. That's how big my first cell phone was. It was huge, had a flip-down speaker. You couldn't put it in your pocket, it was so big. I got this case. My parents got me a case. Put it on my belt. I walked like this for for a good 6 months to a year. It was tremendous. You want to find directions. How do I get to where I'm going? The problem is that if you focus so much on the directions sometimes and what you're doing to get there, you sometimes become so focused on that, you like pass the stop. On the other hand, sometimes people, he says, are so focused on the destination, where they want to go to, they forget about the directions. And so they think they know where they want to get to, but they're not following directions. He says, each of us sometimes focus on one but not the other, and that's probably our greatest challenge. The question of Pinker said we want to ask ourselves every time an El approaches is the following question. It says, what's our ear? What's our destination? And what are the derech? What is the derech, I should say, to get there? Both. And if we can do that, he says, we solve every single El challenge and finish with success. Sounds pretty easy, right? Sounds very easy. So what I want to share tonight, possibly, is to build upon his question, what is our ear? In order to understand what the directions are, what is our goal? Where do we want to be post-Mechatzot? Rav Pinkus in his Shmu says, we begin with, Achas Sha'altem Eis Hashem, and what's the pasuk we end with? Ata Harisa Ladas, that's post-Mechatzot. So those are our, beginning point and end point. I want to figure out how to get from one point to the other, to the end. So what is our ear? What's our destination? And if we know that, we'll figure out hopefully how to get there. Let me share a thought that I think really will explain to us what I believe one, perhaps, of our destinations should be this Elul. In the second source you have in front of you, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, which we should be familiar with because not only is it popular in terms of how often we say it, but it's front and center and highlighted when? By Tekiyah Shofar. Min ha-meter karasi ka anani ba-merchav ka. From the narrowness, from the distress, I called out to Hashem, and he answered me ba-merchav ka with a great expansiveness, with a great abundance of answers. That's the pasuk we say before Tekiyah Shofar. Okay. Many of the different, most of the different machshava try to explain what the significance of this pasuk is, and I'm going to share one thought that I think those who come Friday nights and hear sometimes with Cook, I'm a tremendous advocate and fan, not that it needs my support or my fanship, but every thought that he shares is just so insightful, so tremendous. Rav Cook tries to explain the pasuk based on a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. What's that halacha? In Toka B'tzad HaRachav Shoah Shofar, lo yas. Let's say somebody, the Mechaber says, takes the shofar and figures, you know what? Forget blowing out of that small little hole at the beginning. There's some bali tokeh here. I'm going to turn the shofar around. I'm going to blow out of the wide end of it. I imagine, I've never tried myself, and my mouth isn't that big, to be honest. But if ones were, right? So what would it make? Probably a very high-pitched sound, going from wide to very narrow, I would imagine. Maybe a high-pitched sound of some sort. You can accomplish that task, right? Maybe. You have a bus, okay? You try it tomorrow morning. So what would it make? So Rav Kook says, lo yasa. Why is that? Now, the pshat, of course, the Gemara and the Rishonim explain to us is as follows. The pshat is that it's not jerech tekiya, the kach. You're only yotze any mitzvah with the normal way. So you shake a lulav, the Gemara says, holding the wrong direction, right? Or you blow shofar with the wrong direction. You're not yotze because that's not the normal way to blow, and therefore, we're only yotze any mitzvah b'derech klal in the, what they call the derech normali, the normal way. That's the pshat, of course, in this halacha. Now, if you were here a couple of years ago, my Rebbe, Rabbi Simon Shlita, shared one approach from the Chasam Sofer, api machshava hashkafa, what he thinks the pshat could be api machshava in this halacha, which I'll share briefly because it's so beautiful, the thing is worth sharing again. Menameta karasika, we call out Hashem from Meitar, very narrow, because our ability to direct ourselves in this world is very narrow. But Hashem, bamerchavka, He is expansive. He can answer us in abundance and abundance. Judge the Chasam Sofer, Rabbi Simon pointed out, beautiful. He says that when you flip the shofar around, we're supposed to blow out the narrow side to show we're the narrow ones, and Hashem's the one who controls most of the world. He's the expansive one. When you flip the shofar, says the Chasam Sofer, know what you're saying? Oh, Hashem, you play a small role. You're the narrow one. I, the Merchat, I am the one who's the Merchat. You're the Meitzar, I'm the Merchat. The chutzpah notice. We know it's sheker. It's silliness. Of course, we have such a small perspective on the world. Our ability to do anything, to control anything in life is very small. We rely on Hashem for most of what we do in life. And when you flip the shofar, calling out to Hashem is saying it's the opposite. We control the Merchat, and you are the Meitzar. That's just worthwhile to say over in general. It's a beautiful Chasam Sofer. But Rav Kook Zatzal, does he share a beautiful idea? He says that, this is the beginning of our discussion for tonight, he says that the shofar begins a process until Yom Kippur, even until Simchas Torah, a process where a person's supposed to focus on one particular mahalich, one particular journey, which is that we begin Elul and Rosh Hashanah by focusing on ourselves, improving our mitzvot and our davening and our learning and our midos tovos. It's a very, very self-centered journey. You ask the avid person, so new, what's your avoda for Elul? I'm going to work on my davening, my learning, my this, my that, I, that, my, me, right? Right. I think we all agree, and that's what we should be doing, I imagine. Says Rav Kook, when we emerge Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, and even Simchas Torah, our perspective must change. We're supposed to go from being the Ish Praki, from focusing on ourselves, our own growth, to being an Ish Klali, to thinking about the needs of the other, of the greater family, of the community, of all of Klal Yisrael. That's the transformation one's supposed to go through when it comes to Elul and Yom Narayim. How do we show that symbolically? It's the small part of the shofar at the beginning and the wide part at the end. We begin with the small. That's I. That's me. But the end of it, that's the klal. We're supposed to wind up wider, thinking about more expansively the entire klal. So says Rav Kook, if you leave only, Rabbi Amos is going to be amazing, everything he says, always. But if all you leave from this shulchan tonight is this one piece from a cook, it's so kedai. Beautiful. When somebody in the Mechaber says flips the shofar, what does that mean? They're going in the wrong direction. to starting and saying, you know, I'm the Ish Kali, I want to wind up where? At the end of this journey, it's only me. I'm an Ish Prati. He says, he didn't say this. He said, dude, you're going in the wrong direction. You're going in the wrong direction. It's not where you want to wind up at the end of the process. You want to wind up at the merchaz, at the wiseness, at the klal, not at the process. And that's why the Mechaber says, perhaps, api hashkafa machshava, that's why, flip the shofar around, you aren't Yosei. Because you're winding up in the wrong place. So I wanted to spend a few moments, the next few moments, kind of doubling and tripling down on this idea that I truly believe, certainly for myself, and I think many of us probably would tend to agree, that whereas we certainly begin out focusing on our own personal growth, what we can do for ourselves in our personal journey, I would argue the place we want to wind up is not with focus on ourselves. It's focused on the other, on somebody else, on the cloud, on the community. I was reading this fantastic, I call it a sefer or a book, it's called By His Light, written by Ron Lichtenstein, Zichazach Lebracha. If you've ever heard him speak, he was the deepest of thinkers. I was in the Katz Kollel, Schechter's Kollel, and he came to speak one time, and his vocabulary, his depth of thought, it's just unparalleled. And I'm not ashamed to admit, in front of Yaakov Miller, I didn't understand anything he said. That's how deep he was. It was the most incredible experience. He had to like chazer 15 times every phrase of what he was saying to understand what he meant in every phrase. They wrote this book, which is such a beautiful book, or I call it a sefer, about Yom Naroim, Hashkafos in general, in life, and he really hammers down this idea. I'll never forget, actually, one of my favorite Shabbats of the year in West Hempstead is, actually not just West Hempstead, I was in Jamaica States and Hillcrest, is Yachas Shabbaton. Yachas Shabbaton. I'll never forget this. The week of the Yachas Shabbaton was the week that Rav Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal passed away. And every year the minhag is that we have a rabbi, and that was me, and a Yachas member, say Dvar Torah at the Yachas Shabbaton in shul, everyone davening together. And if you know who he is, because I'm only saying his name because I love him to pieces, his name is Max Taylor, Max Taylor. Max Taylor, whose sister is a student of mine for many years, Mackenzie Taylor. Max Taylor was the Yachad member who spoke. And he got up to speak with a paper in front of him with a short Dvar Torah. Usually it says something to the effect of the parsha is X, and then it just says, thank you all for opening your hearts and homes to us. Good job. Right? That's not how he started. He said, before I say anything else, everyone should rise and bow their heads in a moment of silence to recognize the giant that we just lost of Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal. It was the most incredible moment. This Yachad member made us all stop for a moment in the middle of his Zayin Torah. It was just intense, uplifting, emotional. It was just awesome. It was just awesome. I never forgot that. Rav Aaron says that this is not just in Avodah in terms of the Yom Naroyim, that you want to always try to grow from the Ish Prati, Ish Kali. It's an Avodah really the entire year. I'm going to read you a minute what he says, but he actually quotes two amazing Gemaras. I'm going to skip the Shem Yishmuel for now to allow Rav Dr. Abramovitz his due time. But just two Gemaras that he quotes worthwhile to see in this this idea. The Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Zayin Amud Beis, which is actually a very heart-rending Gemara. We most recently heard about this when? Sadly, on Tisha B'Av. Tana Rabbana. Kishenitrasu Rabbi Elazar ben Parta, Kanina ben Tranjil. When these two great Torah giants were captured by the Romans, Amar Belazar ben Parta, Rabbi Kanina ben Tranjil, Ashrecha shenispasta al davar echad. He says, I'm so jealous of you. You're captured for one thing and one thing only, which was teaching Torah. You were captured and being punished for teaching Torah. I'm jealous of you. That's why you were captured. Oy li, al shenitfasti al chamisha dvarim. What we've seen here was cancer for many different things, not just Torah, other things as well. Amar li, Amar lei, Rechina ben Tradion, Ashrecha shenispasta al chamisha dvarim, v'ata nitzol. You have it totally wrong. I'm jealous of you. Praiseworthy is to you that you were captured for five things. All the things that you did, namely, we'll see in a minute, namely chesed, and you're being saved. Oy li, shenfasti al davar echad ve'eni nitzol. He gave a scary nevuah. He said, but woe is to me, I'm captured for only learning Torah and teaching Torah, and I'm not going to make it through, I'm not going to survive. And kachaya, what a scary, scary nevuah. Sha'at asakta b'torah u'gamilus chasadim. Because you learned Torah, and you also did chesed for other people. It wasn't just about your learning. You made it alive. You made it practical. You helped other people. Vanilo asati ela batora sodat. But I only learned Torah. Can we imagine what Aaron Lichtenstein said? This great sage saying, all I did was sacrifice my life for Talmud Torah and be marbit Torah barabim. All I did? That's a tremendous sacrifice. And yet he's able to express, you know what? It wasn't enough. So Chazal and the Gemara have a back and forth in the next question. Hold on a second. Are we really to believe that the great Chanina ben Tradion wasn't osik in gemilas chasadim, in helping other people? It can't be. And in fact, the Gemara tells a story that we know for sure he was. He was apparently the mumunah. He was the appointed person for the tzedakos of the community. And the famous story is told that one time he mixed up a tzedakah of his own personal finances versus with the tzedakah of the community. What did he do? He decided he gave it all to tzedakah because he wasn't sure which was which. So the Gemara is going to say, you see from here what? He was in fact involved in what? In gemilas chasadim. So how could he say with great confidence and say, oh, woe is to me, all I did was learn Torah. So the Gemara goes back and forth debating that. Listen to the end of the Gemara, it's amazing. The Gemara says, last line, me'avad Avad, 100%, he did gemilas chasadim. He did, but kedibayile lo avad. Well, he didn't measure up to what he could have done in gemilas chasadim. The Baron says that's a frightening line. Here we have a person who's marbit Torah barabim. He was a teacher for Klal Yisrael. He taught countless students Torah. He criticized himself, and Chazal wanted to defend him. And they try to defend him. And what happens? The Gemara concludes and says, okay, granted, we give it to you. He was, in fact, a Gomel Chassid. Of course he was. Every person, every Rebbe certainly is. And he did Tzedakah and Chassid, Gemilas Chassadim. Of course he did. But he could have done more. He focused too much on the personal and not on the communal. Amazing. That's one Gemara. In the next source, in Kedushin Daf Mem Amin Aleph, a very similar idea, Aaron says from this Gemara as well. Amar Rava, Rav Idi Asvarli. Rav Idi explains to me, Rava says, Imru Tzadik Kitov Yipri Malayim Yochlu. A Tzadik should say, it's good with goodness, because all their fruits can be eaten. So he asks the Gemara, Tzadik Kitov? A tzaddik because he's good. When he calls him, you know, we use certain words very liberally, right? And I'm guilty of the same thing. Actually, there's two people, three, who text me to wish me a good Shabbat, Baruch Hashem, every Erev Shabbat. One of them, by the way, is Joshua Aryeh. He's the sweetest boy. He has never missed a week. In fact, a few weeks ago, I made five Shabbos, and I didn't get a text. And so, after Shabbat, turned my phone on. What do I see? Rabbi, running late, Shabbat Shalom. It's amazing. It's such a lift. I said, I got worried about you. Where were you? And 2 weeks ago, I didn't get a text. And I'm wondering what happened. My doorbell rang. And there he is. That's Tzidkus. So when he writes me, Shabbat Shalom, Rav, I write back, Shabbat Shalom, Tzadik. To me, he's Tzadik. He's a pure neshama, he's a Tzadik. But I know, I call my old... All my kids, tzaddikim too. My little tzaddik, right? And You know my kids, they're wonderful, but they're not always funny. Most days, yes. My neighbors don't, I think. Uncles, no. But we use words liberally. So ask the Gemara, Inrud Tzadik Yitov? Tzadik Tov? Okay, a Tzadik is someone who's good. So Tzadik and Tov don't go together. What does that mean? V'chi yesh Tzadik Tov? Is there a Tzadik that's Tov? V'yesh Tzadik She'eino Tov? That's not Tov? We call somebody a Tzadik. We hope that they're Tov. Hope that they're good. Ella. Tov l'shamayim l'abrios. If somebody's good, both towards heaven and towards others, towards his fellow man, zehu tzadik tov. That's a tzadik, and they're also tov. Tov l'shamayim v'ra l'abrios. If you're good towards heaven, mitzvah is personal, but you're bad to other people, zehu tzadik she'eino tov. That's tzadik that's not so great. Then the Gemara Darshan is the same thing by a Rasha. A Rasha Ra and a Rasha She'inu Ra. It's the same thing. It's just the converse of the same idea. I'll read to you Rav Aaron's summary of these two Gemaras. It's really beautiful, really fascinating. Here's what he says. I think the Gemara is referring to something else, he says. Not a person who tramples underfoot the holy area of an Adam Machadero. Not a person, he means, who's ignoring their fellow man, but a person who is simply oblivious to it. They pour their energy into and concentrate upon the area of Arum Lamakom to such an extent that has neither the energy, the resources, nor the motivation to work within the area of Arum Lachadero as well. It is in this sense that he is Rala Brio. He is nothing for them. He has no social conscience, is insensitive to the needs of others. He is totally concerned with the area being Tov Lashanayim. Rav Aaron says these two Gemaras epitomize the idea and the ideal that we believe that it's not just about if somebody only works on themselves, they miss the mark. They fall short. The goal has to be somebody who is, of course, wholesome on their own, dedicated to mitzvot and tefillah and learning, all those things, but equally as energetic, as excited and dedicated to doing for others. That's a very difficult balance to maintain. Says Rav Aaron and Rav Pinkus, that is the ear that we're trying to get to. Ear and Derek, we started with, what's our destination? To get to a place where we don't just think about our own personal growth, our own personal journey, but a place that we think about the journey of others. Are others around me succeeding like I am? So they have the resources that they need to succeed like I am, whether it's financial, whether it's learning, whatever it may be. That's the ear we want to get to by the end of Simchat Torah. We begin the journey with the Meitzar, the small point of the shofar. We're supposed to end the journey by Merchavka with the wide part of the shofar. Personal towards communal. That's the goal. That's the ear. What's the derech? How do we do it? Honestly, I'm really not sure. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. I'll let you know Simchat Torah, God willing. But at least to have the perspective, to have the focus, that we have to understand that we always begin El, and all the shmuzin, I shouldn't say all, many of the shmuzin always talk about what can I do to make myself a better Jew, a better person. Always about the I. You don't hear many shmuzim talking about the we. I'd argue tonight that the end game, the goal really is to wind up in a place that we're just as focused on the we as we are on the I. And I truly believe if that is our goal, that's our ear, that's our perspective, this Yom Narayim, there's no losing. You cannot lose. But our end game, our goal is to make sure we focus on taking care of, supporting, uplifting other people, whether it's financially, emotionally, verbally, in learning, whatever it is, any kind of chesed, I can guarantee HaKadosh Baruch Hu will smile down upon us. I want to wish everyone here a successful journey in Yimei Elul, a journey of hopefully that rewards us with good health, with parnasa, with sustenance, with all good things for ourselves, our families, our entire community, and of course, all of Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, course, doubling down on that one. And halavai, we should be rewarded specifically for our ability to let go of itself, let go of the meitar, of our personal journey, and give even more focus to the journey of the merchav, the journey of others, by supporting others in our community, in Kol Yisrael, and hopefully in that zechus, Hashem will grant us a wonderful and successful year ahead. Let's take a moment break if you want to get a drink and you want to get something to eat, and then we have the feature presentation in a moment as we're about to begin. Yeah.